This is the Roaring Elephant Podcast, and we're back after our anniversary celebrations with a grab bag of stuff we found on the internet.
How are you doing with your post-celebration hangover from all that podcast partying?
Yeah, all that virtual partying, it goes straight to my head always, so that's why we didn't really do anything serious or hard like our past artificial intelligence episodes. We just went to the good old internet and found some interesting things to talk about.
Indeed, some things that tickled our fancy, as they say.
Well, yours predominantly, because you got the first one.
I do indeed. Following on from our, series of sessions on all the challenges with AI projects, we have one that actually, has done pretty well. AI tools, according to the US Treasury, have prevented $1 billion of fraud in 2024, which, on the face of it, sounds pretty good, but we'll get more into that a little bit later.
People, if you're not on YouTube, you can't see this, but the title says prevented $1 billion, and then the subtitle says recovered $4 billion, so it's $5 billion in total.
I don't think so. I think $1 billion was prevention. Maybe it is $5 billion.
The one thing I am certain about, it's not my tax dollars.
True. Is that because you don't do anything fraudulent, of course?
No, I'm too good. They can't find me.
Oh, God.
I mean, this whole podcast is one big tax write-off, man.
Any tax people listening, this is solely the opinion of Jan.
I don't think I'll ever pay that much taxes in the whole of my life. I'm not that affluent, I'm afraid, but no, I'm not afraid. I'm kind of happy about that. Now, I do think that US Treasury is going to have some issues with this as well, because I haven't read the entire article because it was yours and we kind of did a quick turnaround today, but I didn't see them actually discussing how they did this, things they used. But if they're actually using AI tools on the higher end, so going direction of the more complicated models or even maybe neural networks, they will have a lot of problems defending this in front of a judge. Because all of the people that got hit by this can just say, okay, show me the money. No, show me the proof.
They specifically say machine learning. They do not actually say artificial intelligence, apart from in the heading.
People use that heading through each other. I mean, if they use simple anomaly detection, then one, they should have been doing it since the 70s, and they shouldn't have gotten this kind of a six-fold increase, because anomaly detection has been done for years and typically isn't useful in fraud detection unless at a very, very simple basis level. This must be more evolved than this. And if this comes up under the heading of artificial intelligence, I would not be surprised as neural networks, because I do know from my past experience with financial customers, there are specially built fraud detection neural network models on the market that you could just use and consume and do the things with. The thing is that I always saw them as being used as kind of the canary in the coal mine, just to indicate something is happening there. Okay, let's now start investigating to see if we can find collaborating evidence, actually proving that something indeed has gone wrong there. Because just saying the neural network says this is bad is typically not good enough.
Yeah, I mean, they do specifically say machine learning algorithms to identify fraudulent actors in the stuff. The actual thing itself, the release itself, does not say anything about artificial intelligence.
It all depends on the defined terminology.
But your comment around they should have been doing this for a long time and these things not actually being all that effective or efficient in the grand scheme of things, I think is actually kind of meted out, because towards the end of the document, back in April, apparently, The Government Accountability Office estimated that federal agencies lose between $233 billion to $521 billion annually to fraud.
So they kind of prevented 0.5%.
Exactly. And
hey, it's still a billion dollars.
It's still $1 billion, and that's great. But, like, what about the other 520 billion? Oh, just, I guess going back to our previous set of like, if the goal was 1 billion, then the project was successful. If the goal was 521 billion, maybe my initial assessment of, hey, this is a successful project, maybe not so much.
Oops. I always wonder, if they know it's 500 and something billion, then they know it's 500. I mean, well, you can only know that's the amount.
It's an estimate.
But yeah, but still, it must be based on something. Or they just say, okay, we just assume that 10% of people are going to be fraudulent for 1% of their tax returns, and that becomes up to this, I don't know.
Your guess is as good as mine. Your guess is as good as mine. But yeah, it's one of those things that, like, on the headline sounds great. You read the detail and it becomes a little bit underwhelming. But hey, isn't that most news?
It can even get worse than this, because I've just been talking about the credibility of the model here. But we actually, in the Netherlands, we had a scandal about the tax office claiming back some kind of money that people got when you were in certain social circumstances, whatever. Mm-hmm. And on the one hand, what they found was correct, but they still had to pay it all back again because the model was biased to only look at people with certain ethnic origins. So again, using AI for stuff like this is very, very dangerous. And if the US Treasury makes this public, they're actually kind of shooting themselves in the foot. So what I think they did here, again, me cynical, never, is a public relations stunt. Just bringing this out. Hey, people, you should be honest because we're going to find you. We have this big artificial intelligence tools now. I think that's the main brunt of this.
Maybe.
But again,
I don't know. Who knows?
If anybody from the US Treasury listens to this and you want to talk to us about it, hey, reach out, podcast@orderlyoutofthedark.org. We'll be happy to host you as a guest.
Indeed, indeed.
Cool. Moving on.
Yep.
That's another one of yours. Apparently, Dave has found a way to save the world.
Yeah, I can make AI so much more efficient, apparently.
95%.
Wow.
Watching us on YouTube, we're talking about an article with the title that AI engineers claim a new algorithm that reduces AI power consumption by 95%.
Yeah, so as commonly stated on this podcast, I believe I am possibly one of the world's worst developers, but I do understand the difference between integers and floating point, and I think I understand why having integer addition instead of complex floating point multiplication would make something more efficient and therefore consume less power. But surely if it was this easy, we'd have done this already.
Yeah, I have big problems with this. I'm not a good developer either, perhaps, but I do have some knowledge about this kind of stuff. The thing is that floating point multiplication and integer addition are simple hardware pipes in a CPU. Mm. And it's instruction in, instruction out. Now, for some floating point multiplications, it might incorporate up to 3 or 4 cycles through it, depending on the precision you want. But definitely the more recent CPUs, whether you're doing a floating point or an integer addition, sorry, floating point multiplication or integer addition, shouldn't really do that much. And definitely not 95%. Now, the reason that we have both of them is because a multiplication is a simplification of additions. I can do 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2, or I can do 1 times, I don't know how many times I said, 5 times 2. The 1 times 5 points 2 is going to be more elegant than the 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2. Now, all of this doesn't really matter either, because in that article a bit lower, it does say that that this algorithm they created is as fast as the floating point multiplications, but the GPUs or the artificial intelligence accelerators, the majors, whatever, the cards from NVIDIA that cost a lot of money that do this stuff, those enterprise level GPUs without graphics boards, aren't fit to run this algorithm. Which for me means they have not run this on scale at scale. So how can they compare it? Extrapolation, perhaps? Okay, fair enough. Now, I can understand why it doesn't run on these A100, 200, whatever GPUs from NVIDIA, because those things are built for matrix multiplication. Mm. And it has the word multiplication in there, so you can imagine you're not doing additions, but multiplication's there, so they're optimized for multiplication. So maybe algorithm itself, reduced to its bare bones, actually does do this. Must be some truth in there. But at the end of the line, once you have all the new hardware developed and have it all running and everything like that, I would expect you need a lot more hardware to do it with additions and multiplications. And is that still going to keep the same power reduction? I don't know. Now, I did have a quick search to see if I could find any paper submitted by university on this stuff. I didn't find anything yet. I also didn't find any article that discussed any patents or something like that. So, on the one hand, great news. Power consumption by AI is ridiculous at the moment. If we can make this better, yes. And we can all make this better by doing less stupid things with ChatGPT. and that's basically everything you do with ChatGPT. Something like this will happen. There will be leaps in the technology to make power consumption lower. Is this it? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that organizations are talking about miniature nuclear reactors next to their data centers, that should tell you something about how crazy this has got.
Nothing miniature. I mean, Microsoft is taking over Three Mile Island Reactor 2, I guess. That's just a full-blown...
Yeah. But if you look up, I can't remember what the term is, but it's basically like DIY my first nuclear reactors. I can't remember the exact term they used, but it's wild. Anyway.
And this is even worse than blockchain, because blockchain also had, I mean, the whole cryptocurrency thing is also an energy waster, incredibly. This is even worse than that. So at least we're making progress on that front.
Okay, slight aside, because you mentioned cryptocurrency, but there is someone in the UK, someone in Wales, currently suing the government for not allowing him to dig through his local landfill site. Because his partner threw away a drive that had $500 million dollars worth of cryptocurrency on it.
Yeah, it's probably next to those old Atari video games that people are searching for, and an episode of Big Bang Theory.
Indeed. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on already?
I think so.
Then talk to me about the All Things Open.
Yeah. So this was kind of interesting. We, over our history, have actually got a few stories that we've talked about from the website that was and I guess still is technically called opensource.com, which was, although it was an initiative started at and by Red Hat, you wouldn't have known it by going to opensource.com. Like, it never felt like, the site never felt like an ad for Red Hat. It was just about enterprise use of open source. And I genuinely thought it was a pretty good website. Merger / acquisition of Red Hat by IBM. At some point after that, opensource.com just stopped being updated. And, I guess a variety of people have moved on since then. One of which is Jason Hibbets, who I actually did work with when I was at Red Hat. I was there from sort of back in 2000s, early 2000s to mid 2000s. And yeah, I actually do remember Jason during my time there. He went on and was very successful. He was community director at Red Hat when he left, which was back in May 2023, which is very similar to around about the last time that opensource.com was updated. So there is now a new site, allthingsopen.com, and that is, sorry, .org, allthingsopen.org, and that is, it seems to be kind of bringing back that focus of sort of enterprise, open source, you know, vendor agnostic, just kind of people doing fun stuff in enterprise with open source. And I'm kind of here for it. I love, this is the kind of thing that we often talk about on a fairly regular basis, having a, I think it's fair to say, a bit of an open source focus in our lives through various reasons. And I think this is great to hear. It's great that this sort of thing is back. Time will tell whether it survives, thrives, and I very much hope that it does.
Yeah, I'm kind of lost here because I can't remember ever using the original site, but that's not that strange. And yeah, I have my I know where to go to find certain stuff, so I hardly ever just put a wide net out. But are these connected to actual open source projects or to the foundation or something like that? Or is this, I mean, is there a direct link between a GitHub project somewhere and an article there somewhere? Or is it just more the PR people, visionaries, attention seekers that post on stuff like this?
I mean, I think it's I think it's a little bit early to say. There's sort of, I mean,
not the original one, the opensource.com one, for example.
It was a wide variety of stuff. Like, there was stuff, you know, posted by individual developers. There was stuff posted by, you know, various luminaries. There was stuff reported as maybe not news, but sort of, yeah, I used to, certainly I have used opensource.com in the past for a variety of things that we've talked about in the past. But yeah,
yeah, looking at the most recent article or the last article on the opensource.com one, it does indeed look fairly technical and elaborate and not just a AI-written, attention-seeking little snippets. Of course, it's from 2023, so Gen AI wasn't that big yet. But, okay.
Yep.
It's always fun to discover something good after it's gone. It's a bit weird, though, that Red Hat still has a logo on there supported by Red Hat, while it's a, by all accounts, dead sized now. Good, can't be good. How do you call that? Publicity for them. So let's hope it's on the way back machine and it hasn't been hacked yet.
Yeah.
Because this will disappear at some point. I would not. Do you think that Red Hat would now say, oh, somebody else is trying to take over, we have to put more effort in here again, so let's do it? And I think if we said Red Hat, we should say IBM.
Yeah. I just don't really think IBM cares that much about this. Like, the whole thing about it was that, you know, that was, you know, sponsored by and initiated by Red Hat. Like, it was very vendor agnostic. It did have lots of things coming from lots of different people, and that just, it's not that IBM doesn't have a good open source presence, because they genuinely do, and I believe that, and I've worked with a number of IBM folks throughout my career that have done huge strides for open source. But this isn't just about open source projects. This is also about you know, companies that are heavily invested in open source. And I just don't really see IBM putting time and effort into making this, you know, a focus again. Maybe I'm wrong, but
I think it's more generic these days. It's hard to find, definitely on the internet, sites that still have good articles. It's so much publicity, so much PR, so much buzzword bingo kind of stuff, where big thing here, but they don't even talk about what it's doing and stuff. It's just, for some reason, people, me included, no longer go to the internet site like this to find that kind of information, because we've kind of given up. And that's basically, that's very much due to the IBMs and other companies that have stopped doing this. And I don't understand why. It's the same with the conferences, actually. I hardly ever go to a conference anymore, because having a decent technical talk at a conference is almost impossible. I mean, I'm asked sometimes to give speeches or presentations at conferences, and the things that they ask me to talk about are all extremely high level, generic, everybody should understand this, which has its place. I mean, every conference should have a track with entry-level 101 stuff, fair, but it can't just be that.
Mm.
It's kind of killing all conferences, at least for me.
Indeed.
It's a sad world.
Maybe as a final note for today, here's hoping that allthingsopen.org is a resurgence of that type of content, and certainly wish them all the best.
Yes, let's hope so. And maybe we'll be picking some articles from their site in the future.
maybe. Well, unfortunately, with that really is all the time we have for today. You can support this podcast by becoming a Patreon, and every contribution really does help. We are on YouTube. You can like and subscribe and do all the YouTube things, should you wish. There's also roaringelephant.org for a link to our Patreon page and for more information about the podcast. And please do send any feedback to podcast@roaringelephant.org if you just fancy a good old email. Until next time, my name is byebyeopensource.com. Dave?
Okay, in that case, my name has to be helloallthingsopen.org.
And we look forward to talk to you next week.
Goodbye.
See you then.